All right, let's see if we have levels. We have levels and contact, Houston. We're on the air. Welcome to another week of the Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have Phil Walthall and Scott Bishop here with me. And on Skype, I have James Usler. All right, guys, how do we think it's been so far today? James?
Well, the services have been good, Phil and Paul. Whoever said my name.
That would have been Phil.
You know, talking about, Phil was talking about families and how we are to be to each other, whether it's the husband to the wife or the children to the parents. And we can't operate as a body if we can't get those fundamental things down in our families. And our service to the Lord starts with our families. So it's
really, and that's true. That's all true. It's really a more fundamental thing than that. That is the Lord's way so the Lord chooses to reveal himself to your family. It's through the Father. That's his way. And until you get that right, they're never going to get the representation that the Lord wants them to have of who he is and how he is personally involved with them and loves them and wants them to grow up in him. And, you know, that's really the great importance of that. And, it's again about the Lord and his ways and learning to him and agreeing with him, learning them and then agreeing with them to do them.
Well, when you look at, you're talking about as the body for the body to function. You know, some of the simplest things, and, you know, I was talking about leaning not on thine understanding, and some of it's a very simple way that this works out. I mean, look, it's just like the military. I mean, the order's given down. You don't follow that order. There's disarray. There's chaos. If there's no communication, it's disarray. It's chaos. And it's simply doing your part of that body. I mean, it's just like, man, you tell your arm to go do something. It doesn't do it. You got a problem. You got a problem. You're in a battle. You're Jesus's body. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, it would have all been void if Jesus was not obedient unto the Father. I mean, imagine there. He went to all that thing. And just say, to the sake of where he hit that rock. And he says, not my will be done, but yours. To the sweating of blood. And if he said, all right, nope, get this.
I'm out.
It wouldn't have been good for any of us. For any of us. And so if you're going to be a part of his body, it just simply starts, you love God, love one another. It really is simply, man, when you can recognize and just see in your daily life and just going about your daily life the opportunity that we have to actually learn to be a part of that body, be a part of his way, and partake of that plan that he has. It's right there for you all the time. And Ephesians just writes it out very clearly. This is his way. And you have, if you can't love God, love one another.
You just start right there at the beginning.
Love God.
You can, and if you love God, then you're going to learn how to love one another.
Oh, amen.
I mean, we do it.
Absolutely. I mean, you see in John where it says, man, you say you love God and hate your brother,
you're a liar.
And truth's not in you. And the same goes with, I mean, those opportunities that we have. We say we love God, then we judge our masters and don't do as he says and rebel and throw attitudes against it and don't do it in order. That's, you're not loving God. I mean, you're a liar. I mean, and that seems to go for any instance in any part that you play. I mean, through the line of authority says da da da. What happens? You don't listen. You don't trust the Lord and obey the Lord in those things. You don't love God. You're all about your own thing. You're not even making them Lord. You're being Lord. You're being Lord. And see, the thing is where we can partake of his plan and partake of those promises, not in presumption, is where we actually partake in his way. We actually partake in his way. And I mean, that's where those doors that those doors open up to partake in his way.
Well, that's that double-minded man Steve was talking about. You know, you say you love the Lord and you want to serve him, but you don't. You do your own thing. And that, you know, that's something that we need to, the areas in our lives that that's the case, we need to be shed of. We need Amen. To lift them up to the Lord.
Amen. Are the situations where you say you trust the Lord, but then that which is given you to do, you don't do. That means you don't trust him. You don't trust him in his grace or your mercy. I mean, imagine King David. Your Lord shows him the gospel. Go be king. Well, if he didn't be king, it just showed he didn't trust the Lord.
He didn't believe him.
He didn't believe him. Right. But he said to go be king after his screw up. He went and be king. It shows that he trusted in the Lord and his grace and his mercy. And what gets magnified is the gospel for others to partake of. I mean, that's all it is. Right there. It's there, that in a nutshell. And, you know, what, you know, kind of going to David, and I look at David and Saul, then actually between the two, what it comes through is what? David was in humility. He said, I mean, when he made the mistake, when he had screwed up, and when he repented, he didn't make no excuse for himself.
He didn't have any justification.
No, he came to him just where he's at, and even says, don't be confused when thou judgest, or don't be, no, I'm at fault here, I'm at fault. Saul's was, it was the people's fault. Saul's was, it was the people's fault, it was so-and-so's fault, it was somebody else's fault, it was never his fault. And because of that, that was just pride and justification, and because of that, he could never receive the gift of mercy that God had for him. And it's the same thing.
Or anything else.
Or anything else. I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, shoot, we are natural man is not, I mean, when it goes, natural man's 180 degrees against Christ. And so when it says, you know, the Lord tells you to go do a thing, natural man wants to rear up and self-justify itself, or when we get nailed on self something, it wants to self-justify itself. It wants, or when something doesn't go right that you're accountable for, it wants to blame somebody else. And so what happens is you don't receive the promise then. You don't receive that grace then. And, you know, it's like when I was using the example of go and clean your room, or it might be, you know, the suggestion, Phil, go do such and such, and or my boss. It could be a suggestion from my authority in the Lord. It could be a suggestion, direction from my discipler to go take, and all these things. I mean, I can turn around and complain and say how all that's not going to work. It just shows I don't trust God. And then, and shows that I don't trust the Lord, one, and then the other thing is, and if I make excuse for myself or why I can't do it, and I shouldn't even use that, or if I cop an attitude, it just shows me, all right, man, my attitude's not right, Lord. I'm in rebellion, Lord. I'm in, and then I can actually go to the saying, Lord, I have these issues. It's not Steve's issue. It's not the guys at work issue, it's not my boss's issue, it's not my brother's issue. No, the only issue that it is mine, because I'm responsible for my response to the thing.
When you make that response that isn't obedience, then you're cutting yourself off from any possible blessing. Like you bring up the thing, you know, telling the kids go clean their room. I mean, I've come into the house, okay, clean up your rooms, you know, do this, do that. And it's because I had a plan to go out and have some fun, and they would have
absolutely
been mightily
blessed. Yeah, absolutely.
But what happens all too often is, oh, they're not cleaning their room. They start fighting with each other. One wants to play with the Legos still. They're not done. And what that ends up doing is it takes so much time. I end up getting frustrated and say, you know what? Then you're not going to get that blessing, whatever it was.
Absolutely. You
know? And it's just cut right off.
Absolutely.
But when they do obey and they get that done, and then we do something fun, go out, grab a pizza, go play in the yard or watch a movie, I mean something.
That, go swimming.
Yeah, go swimming. Then they're mightily blessed and they have a wonderful time.
Absolutely. I mean, as a fact, it was Wednesday night. I do Bible study Wednesday nights with the kids, and actually with Kat and Adrian. doing Bible study, and Braylon comes, hey, Dad, can we go swimming? No, not right now. My plans were to, once we were done, to go, and I was also going to see how it went. I mean, it was going to be attitudinal and all these things, but no, they enjoyed it. She got the answer, no. I'm sure she didn't like it at that time, but we did it. And we did it. We got done. We went swimming. There's blessing for them on the other side of that thing. Even the lessons in... Even the lessons in humility and something. I mean, I remember the lesson that I had in humility. I mean, look at the lesson that David had in humility when he disobeyed the Lord and that judgment came. He submitted himself unto the judgment one. But he learned a lesson in humility and all that, in that sense. And I remember a similar way in my life at work where I learned a lesson. That was a great lesson. Was it fun? No. Did I have to go down that road? No. Could have just humbled myself, but however, was not the case. And because of my action, there was things that I had to go through. But see, even that was valuable. And see, that's a lesson where I can go and minister unto somebody else in a similar situation.
It says a lot, you know, about David's heart when he is, because he received the correction from Nathan, that he honored the prophet as being over him.
Oh, absolutely.
Over him.
You see the redemption of even David being king in Israel? Because they got a king. Why? Because they wanted to be like other nations. So what so they got a king after their own heart, children of Israel did. This sound looks like I'm reading on something on chat. But you see the redemption where the Lord's hand was constantly out for the people. I mean, it's no difference. I mean, it's constantly out for those people, for the children of Israel, because you've seen, well, you know what? It's not that they reject you, Samuel, it's because they reject me. And give them. You're going to get a king, but recognize the consequence of you getting a king. You're going to pay tax. You're going to, all these things are going to happen. And then they got a king that wasn't so great, a king that threw them under the bus before the Lord, and not him being accountable for his own decision. That's the kind of king they got. And I mean, it got to the point where the king could care less what happened to the children of Israel. He cared about himself. And that's what Saul was. But would the Lord redeem that? Yeah, he set up the kingship, gave the people, they made their bed, they slept in it, but what did he do? Now he says, in redemption to all that, now what does he do? He brings up King David, a man after his own heart. So I mean, you see the goodness of the Lord, where it was a time and a season for them to recognize their own choices in a matter and the fruit of it. But it wasn't like they left him high and dry and was abandoned. It was still there for them to receive good things. That's why he brought in David. And the same with in our lives. The same now. I mean, there it is. It's redemption's right there. Redemption's right there. Redemption's right there. We have to reap some of what we sow. And we have to reap in some of what we sow. And that's reaping was because of us. But see, if we don't reap what we sow, how will we learn to change that which we are sowing? And sometimes there's a humility factor after we reap what we sow. We sowed a bunch of bad things. Well, you turn unto the Lord, you start sowing what He has, which is love. That becomes far better. But there's a time in a humbling place of there's a time, and it should be in a humbling place all the time, don't hear me wrong, but time and a place where you suffer some of that reaping. And also it's a kind of a litmus test of where you at, what you are sowing, some of these things. So kind of got off the beaten trail there a little bit.
Well, I'm looking up scriptures. I'm not going to be able to probably multitask very well. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And, you know, I hear that at least especially the first part of that, quoted an awful lot, and it's kind of varies as to whether it's being applied accurately or not. But the from this passage, you know, all of that which you accede to from the flesh standpoint is sowing corruption. It's not just not going to work out well for you in general, in a nondescript sort of way. It's sowing corruption.
Well,
if you don't want to reap corruption, then you have to take authority and rule back away from the flesh.
Amen.
And choose to sow to the Spirit. The reward for doing so is life everlasting.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad you look up that scripture. And the other point of that is when you sow corruption, you think about what that affects. I mean, that affects others too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't even see it. You know, when I was doing a lot of dope and drugs, and I was all about myself. It was all selfish to make me feel better. And what I didn't recognize, I figured, I'm doing this to myself. I'm not harming anybody. You know, at least I'm not harming anybody. But what did it affected all around me? It affected everybody around me. I mean, everybody around me in a bad way. In a bad way. And what is that you want to sell? I mean, what is that you want to minister? Because you're going to minister something. Are you going to minister life everlasting, or are you going to minister death and corruption? Death and destruction. Just corruption.
Either your ministry is going to be corrupt, or it's going to be about life. And right. That more abundantly. I prefer to minister the life thing, personally.
The
only way you're going to have that in your quiver tube minister out there, too, is to not have sown the seeds of corruption, because that is therefore all you have in your reservoir to minister out. And that's just a if-then scenario. If you sow the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting, and those around you will have that being ministered to them, because that's a process that shows.
Amen. And how you minister that, it's all about being on His agenda and His
not
thing
yours.
And not yours. And it's not about you, it's about Him. I mean, when Jesus went about, we are His body, He was all about what? The Father's business. He was always about the Father's business. See, and if we're about the Father's business, you're gonna sow life everlasting. But if you're about your own business, you're gonna sow corruption. And that's just simply it. And we learn how to be about His Father's business through word, through prayer. You're stepping out in faith through that line of authority, through His way that we had discussed. That's how you learn that. That's how you come up with the issues that are in yourself, too, that you can get shed up. I mean, told to do something, you get an attitude, hold up. All right, that's something that's pretty ugly. I mean, let's get rid of that. Why do you think fellowship's so important? You look at the rock tumbler. We talked a little bit Thursday night about the rock tumble. We come up and we rub those rough edges off one another, makes them smooth. But in the midst of the rubbing up, it doesn't feel too good. But all it shows is our own rough edges. I mean, that's all it shows. It's nobody issues but your own, and those are the things that you can get shut up. You're talking about that process. There's a process there. And I mean, it's all good. And it might not seem great. I mean, I know at work, I mean, it doesn't feel good to the flesh, but it's profitable for your spirit. I mean, I know at work, we lost a lot. I mean, we got a lot of new guys, and there's some guys that have been great Indians at work. Well, there's no more room for them just to be an Indian anymore. They need to grow up in some leadership. I need more leaders on the ground. Well, there's a process in doing that. Do I expect them to all of a sudden get on that floor and be leaders and run it? No, I don't. there's going to be a learning process. That learning process can be quite painful. I mean, I have to tell you. I mean, however, but they learn it. It's just like when you work out. You're talking about, I remember you ministering about that faith muscle. When you work out, man, I mean, it burns, it hurts. But to get that muscle, that's what it takes. And what they have learned is they're learning to actually be successful in leading and that they can do it. They went from a position this week where they can't. That's not them, and they're an Indian, to they can't. There's been some struggles along the way in the midst of those things, but praise the Lord, I know it's for good.
And you've got to push through to get to the other side of that.
Right, it ain't over.
And keep finding those rough edges, finding those places where you fall short, and keep shedding yourself of them. If you go to that next verse in Galatians, it's 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not.
All right, it reminds me of the scripture of, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. But go ahead. So if we faint not, and there you go, knowing, and that's where faith in Him comes in place too. Faith and trust in Him, realizing, man, all around you it looks, it's tough, it's rough, it's something that is strenuous. But you know what? Regardless of all that, you're going to trust the Lord to get to the other side, to get to that other side, and it's beneficial. You know, something struck me. You were talking about earlier about what you sow, and I tell you a lot of times, and still goes on, where it's like, I mean, I come, you know, home through the day or through the week, and I go, oh my gosh, I mean, what is that I was ministering? Oh my God, Lord, have mercy upon me and upon them. You know, because remember how I was talking about what I sowed would affected everybody else? I mean, that's where it comes into place, and then you've got to trust in what? The Lord's grace and mercy in the gospel of Him, because tell you, there's too many, many, many times I come to the end of that day, I go, oh, Lord, what was that I was, oh my goodness, I mean, have mercy upon me and on them. And it's amazing, the grace. You go strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus in the midst of that, because you have to trust that grace to cover. And all those mistakes that you made, and going forward, and you do this wrong, you handle that wrong, you handle this wrong, and all those things. Yep, but the Lord is able to even turn all those around. It's called redemption. And what gets magnified once again is Him, Jesus. And that's what it's about.
It sounds good, too. I mean, you know, as we therefore, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But what in that is involved in that is unbelief can rob us of that.
Absolutely. Yep.
And you have to fight through that.
That's
it doesn't matter what the flesh is telling you. It doesn't matter what the enemy's trying to testify to you. The truth of the matter is, if you're diligent and faithful, you're going to reap the eternal life. But unbelief is going to come in and try and talk you out of that. That you have to take this bull by the horns and do this yourself and justify yourself. And it's not, it can't be about you.
Amen.
It's about Jesus.
Amen.
And it's about His way.
And that's where you say, just in that phrase right there, remember, what is that parable where Jesus is talking about and doesn't count the cost? Mm-hmm. And he starts to build. I mean, that's what it's talking about. You count the cost. I mean, that means everything. I mean, that means everything. I mean, you start this thing no matter what adversity you have in the midst of it. And some of the adversity is just actually you reaping of the things that you had sowed, a lot of it. But you have a trust and faith in Him and what He's able to do through it all. And there's those times, I mean, we run up against unbelief. There's those situations you run up, you see, don't see how it's possible. You don't see how this is going to plan out, how this is going to play out, how it's going to work. But it doesn't matter, because you need to have your faith solely in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Yeah, it's like, and it's maybe this relates to the topic, I'm hoping. When we're going through John 14:6 about Jesus saying unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. And we kind of, and because it sounds real good when you say it, but, and his way is, he's the way, and his way is the way. But the next verse really states that. It in not so many words. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. If you know him, then what? You know his ways. That's what he entered into a relationship with Moses and said, Moses, will you learn my ways? And remember, you've seen my power.
Remember, he says, take your shoes off for the place where thou standest, this holy ground. It's by my rules, my way. You and, ready to lay that down? And by him taking off his shoes, says, your rules,
Lord, I yield.
Your way. Yes. Yeah. And see, that's... Go ahead. You have more to say, I know.
I would just use this as an example. Husbands, you say you know your wives. If everything she does is a mystery and surprises you, I submit to you, you don't know her. Because if you know her, you know her ways. In the same way, you say you know the Lord. That is a testimony that you know his ways. And if you don't know his ways, you don't know the Lord. And you need to find out. And it can be done.
Yeah, and you know what? It's actually, we just went over some of it this morning. I mean, it's available.
Yeah.
You can go down to the store and buy a King James Version Bible right there. Not only that, ministers all around here, especially here. You don't have to stay in the place where it's hopeless. You don't have to stay in the place where you can't move forward. You don't have to stay. It's really, if you're not going forward in those things, there's really nobody to blame but yourself in those things.
Right.
And then that's where you humble yourselves and you go forward in it. You start trusting. You start obeying. I mean, that's where you're at. That's where you get to know them. I was talking about, we got two different things going on. We've talked about reaping what you sow. We've talked about him being his body, doing his father's business for what? Others. But we also, it's a two-way thing. It's for you too. See, okay. We take that order. The body has a purpose. When you have the military, you have an army to go defeat the enemy, right? It has a purpose. It's not about them. It's about defeating that enemy. And there's a line of authority in that thing. And when that line of authority and everybody does their part, they're a unit like one. It doesn't separate. It's not diverse. It's one. They go and they destroy that enemy to the purpose of the battle. Well, there's a battle right now, folks, and we're called to be a part of his body, and it's a battle for Adam's seed. Okay, that's what it's a battle for. But in the midst of that battle, in the midst of us going forward in that obedience, it's also, we talked, there's two things going on. It's also for us, too. See, it's also for us, too, to get shed of those things, because what happens is the things that are not of the Lord get exposed. We can get rid of them. We can get shed of them. And so those, it actually works for us on a personal level, and that, guess what? You get to know him, Pauly. You get to know him, Scotty. You get to know him, James. So you know the Lord, and when he's ready to call you up, you go meet him in the air. And it's also not for that. This is like also a boot camp for when you get there. Because see, once you get to heaven and you get that glorified, and that's if we get there, mind you. That's if we get there. But when you get there, you get that glorified body. He's not coming off his throne and getting sacrificed again. See, there's no more grace once you receive, you're up there with him and you receive that new body. So it's also for us, as well as the battle that's going on for Adam's seed right now. And see, it's a beautiful thing.
Once you get there, the only justification for you is obedience.
That's right. Yes, Lord, no problem.
Yep.
I mean, we got that all around us right now. I mean, we got bosses, we got parents in the Lord, we got disciples. Yes, Lord, we got that opportunity all. And so it works in both ways, and it's a beautiful way. His way is the only way, and all the we got the. I mean, it's right here. We have opportunity to learn of it right now. It's set here right before us this day, and it works. It's both for you.
Excuse.
Absolutely, and it works. And when you do go in that way, it works for you, for your salvation, and it works for others to give them opportunity to get on that same salvation in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Does move in its focus. Ought to have just left it here because he goes from let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The next one is out there, as we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good to all men, especially them who are the household of faith.
And I'm so glad you brought that scripture, because that's it right there.
That's it.
You know, you hear about people waiting on the opportunity, and that scripture actually came to my mind, just sat and clue where it was at. A while ago, I think it was actually yesterday we were doing Bible study. But that's the opportunity of people like, well, I'm just waiting for the opportunity. And there is a place where you sit back, you let the anointing do the work, and there's an opportunity that reveals itself.
Paul Muller paraphrase here is, since you have opportunity.
Yeah. What we're saying is, there's opportunity all the time. So it might not be the opportunity right then and there to actually say something to somebody. But just in your action, with interaction with that person, therefore there is opportunity. It's not that it's not there. We do a lot of sitting and waiting a lot of times when that opportunity is actually right now.
And sometimes
right
the ministers to those who are not of the household of faith, when they see that working.
Oh, absolutely.
Our first responsibility are those of the faith. And we have plenty of instruction on how to deal with one another. If that wasn't important, that wouldn't be there. It's important.
But how will you know
by our own nature, it wouldn't be there as well.
Huh?
If we did that by our own nature.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been necessary.
I mean, what does he say? They will know you're my disciples by your love for one another.
That's right.
And that's that fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's what we're looking to reap.
Amen. And why would? If we can't love one another now, why would the Lord bring anybody for us to minister unto them? If we're too busy backbiting, hating one another, the Lord's like, you guys don't have nothing to offer. Is that what the scripture says? But it's worthless not to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. I don't want to be in that category. I don't want to be in that category. And you really have it's a cool thing, because in Timothy, we kind of read this last night in Timothy, where it says, I think it's 2 Timothy 2.
Let's get over there.
And where it says in here, it was an interesting thing, because we were actually looking at something on this front, and it was 2 Timothy 2. It starts with, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And it also kind of goes down in that same thing as it goes down to 21. And it's right here. It says, if a man therefore be... Alright, so, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and it goes to the list up above that, from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Look, you can be in an example of some of the Lord and how of the Lord at all, and you can be one of dishonor or honor. You can be the one like that with Moses, of Jambres and Jannes, which withstood Moses. They were examples of dishonor in the sense of, Lord, was the Lord magnified regardless when they withstood against Moses? Absolutely. Absolutely. But what side of that magnification do you want to be on? It's like, he's got the winning team. I want to be on the winning team. I mean, you've seen where we were kind of reading Samuel, where the Ark of the Covenant, because of their presumption, the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines took. Well, Israelites weren't right, neither the Philistines. Here, the Philistines are like, we got Israel now. We got their Ark. Well, they get a bunch of hemorrhoids. I mean, it didn't matter. The Lord's going to be magnified one way or another. And it was an interesting thing. I remember being at my in-law's place, and the parents threw up, and there's a guy that had accepted, it was on the crew, accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He professed these things. And some things happened. He had some tribulation. Something happened. Well, he was out there, and he was, I forget what it was that he was like sawing a board or something like that. And sure enough, he just cursed God in front of him. I mean, just cursed God right in front of the thing. Immediately, I think that something happened where he about cut his hand off with the skill saw. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just saying, it's like, the testimony of the Lord remains true. I mean, the Lord is Lord. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. There's the winning team. It's either you had the children of Israel a long time ago who were they forsook the Lord. What happened? The protection of the Lord came off of them, and the enemies came in to kill, steal, and destroy. It's because they walked outside the provision of the Lord. The other countries knew what was going on. Did the Lord still get magnified? Yeah. The Lord still got magnified. I mean, they recognized, I mean, they wanted to get rid of the Ark of the Covenant because, man, destruction was coming on them. They sent that thing back. Was the Lord magnified? Yes, the Lord was magnified. I tell you, I want to be on that winning team. You know, I want to be, and that's really, I mean, that's just another part. What you say you're of the Lord, you say of all these things, and you go about doing your own thing in these sense, and you go about rebelling against the Lord. Do you want the Lord to be magnified in the sense of it being something where you ran out from under His protection? And you seen what happened and getting eat up? And it was just apparent just because you ran out from His protection? Actually, I've been there many times, by the way. It really sucks. Lord was gracious and was able to enter back in. But regardless, the Lord was magnified. My family would look and they'd say, well, you know, when he's in the ministry and he's going forward in the Lord, man, things work out for Philip. But as soon as he turns, it falls apart. The Lord got magnified. Praise God.
Amen.
What scriptures say about the Lord? Lord, it says, Lord, amongst other things, and first and foremost, the Lord is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Otherwise, we don't stand a chance.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And in fact, I mean, the way that we go forward in the Lord at all is just, you recognize that you have nothing to offer.
Yeah.
I mean, what you have to offer is what He's given you. Love, power, sound mind, Jesus, what He's done. I mean, all of those things are what's acceptable.
Well, the difference between Cain and Abel.
Right, absolutely.
The Lord said, this is what I want you to do for sacrifice. And this, what He wanted you to do for sacrifice was something He had provided. He created the lamb.
Yeah.
And the sacrifice was to be of a lamb. I'm thinking it was like the unspotted lamb, right?
Right. Without blemish. Or just right. An example of Jesus to come was without
Cain
sin.
Cain takes it on himself to offer the fruit of the ground.
Yeah.
And he's offering a cursed thing.
Right.
Not only he's offering a cursed thing, it didn't follow the order.
Absolutely.
The order was to sacrifice a lamb. Blood has to be shed to cover this sin. And that was the type and shadow of the Lamb of God.
Right. And it goes to, that's why the scripture says, without faith is it impossible to please God.
Yes.
I mean, because that, which when we offer our flesh, that is like some good thing. It's a cursed thing. It's not accepted. Yeah. It won't be accepted. It can't be accepted. But when we offer up a belief and trust on Jesus' righteousness and on Jesus, that's accepted because that was not cursed.
And that was his plan. Right. So that you would have that opportunity.
Right. So I mean, it makes it so available for anybody. It makes it so available to any woman, child, man out there. It's so available that anybody can receive it. And what keeps us from receiving it, it being about us and our own pride and thinking we can do it ourselves, and we constantly offering up our flesh, it has something to offer. And it doesn't. And see, that's where we get defeated. See, that's where we lose. Because you're offering that which is not acceptable. And God's sitting there, Jesus sitting there, I gave you me. That's acceptable. Oh, no, I mean, but because of man's pride, our pride and our own rebellion and thinking we have something, chooses not to receive that. Or it goes the other end of pride, and it's just all pride. I'm not worthy. Well, yeah, that's why I offered you me. So why can't you walk in it? Well, because I'm not capable. Well, it's never been based on your capable. That's why I'm offering you me. Well, I just can't. Well, why? I just can't. Well, why not? I'm too stupid to get it. No, that has nothing to do with your stupidity. Why can't you get? He's giving you him. Offer that. Well, that's what I got. Yes. Go walk victoriously. Believe him. Trust him. Hang on to that, man. Be like Jacob. Hang on to Jesus with dear life. Don't let go.
And it's a labor against unbelief. Yeah, it's not, you know, coincidental that it talks specifically about that in Hebrews as part of our struggle, as part of what we have a daily deal with, and probably more than daily, probably multiple times a day, a labor against unbelief.
But right, I mean, but you see it in Hebrews, you see it in Ephesians, you see it in Colossians, you see it in Philippians, you see it in, I mean, it's all over. Put off the old man. Mm-hmm. The sin that so easily besets us. Mm-hmm. And then we got all those instructions. Then we also got in Hebrews and other, it's available to you. You can go to Jesus with anything. It is him that gives you the will and to do of his good pleasure. He's been tempted like we have been tempted. Except without sin. How do you go forward it? In the things he gives you. It's right there. So victories, the war is won. There's still the battle going on. It's about us walking in that victory.
Yeah. And the battle is for us to learn how to take orders and instruction and be obedient. And for the souls of Adam.
Amen.
The battle is for the souls of Adam. Adam's race.
And for ourselves too.
You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
See, it's
a personal thing.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful, the Lord's way is really beautiful because it works hand in hand. It's for others and it's for you too.
That's like,
you know, and it happens simultaneously when he works within you. It happens simultaneously.
It's like Daddy walks in the door
and he works it with others.
It's like Daddy walks in the door, he's got treats for kids. And it's like, okay, the first one to fight through and get here first, get them. It's really the sense of urgency and fight through it, this kind of thing we have to adopt. It's there, but you gotta show you want it, man. And if you don't want it that much, go before the Lord and say, look, I don't want it that much. Lord, help me.
Yeah.
I can't stay like this. He will honor that prayer.
Was David says,
and then you make the choices that you know the right choices.
Right. Says the prayers that you know God won't answer.
Yeah.
Give me a mind that's hungry for your word, a love to love others with, and a focus to do thy will. And then you go and walk and you believe it. Yeah. Believe he's going to answer it. He says he would. But you're right. I mean, that's, you got to want it. What is the one thing that has been said? One thing you can be covetous with. The one thing that you can be covetous with is the things of the Lord. I mean, go after it. Doesn't Scripture tell us as we went after other things in our natural man, go after the things of the Lord with the same venom, vigor, everything.
If your child's not fighting through for the treat, then there's something wrong with them. They're ill. You need to deal with that.
I mean, you wouldn't believe
what I would. It's natural.
Absolutely. You wouldn't believe what I would do to go get drugs. Some of the things I brought myself through to get that thing. Man, if I could get like that with the Lord, praise God.
Yeah. Move heaven and earth to get one of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And that really what the culture becomes. It's the next. The next. It's never about the current and the pleasure you derive from the current. About the next.
And see, your joy becomes full when you're about loving God, loving one another, the things of the Lord. Your joy becomes full. See, the things with the flesh, I'm telling you right now, you'll never get full. You'll never be satisfied. This old man will never be satisfied with anything. I don't give a crap if you got $20 billion, bought you everything you wanted to do, everything you ever wanted to do, get, you know, whatever the lust desires, it will never be satisfied. Never be satisfied. I was watching, it's a movie, Wolf on Wall Street, and this man, he had like a free go ticket to get out. You know, you can get out now, Jordan. You can get out. You got tons of money. They're not coming after you. They're pretty much just telling you to stop right now, or they will come after you. You got a get out of jail free card. Oh, he couldn't do it.
More.
He didn't want to leave. He loved the attention. He loved it all. It was all the things of the flesh, and it just consumed him, wiped him down. He was never satisfied. That's the way it works. But see, with the Lord, it's different. I mean, I remember that hole in my gut. And that hole in my gut that I had, I tried to fill with drugs, just got bigger and bigger and bigger. But when I put Jesus there and I received him, that was full of joy. And I had the greatest high I've ever had. And the relief and that burden that rolled away was something I don't think I felt since I was freaking 2 years old. Actually, I don't even know if I did at two. It was probably the first time ever, actually. Something I've never felt. Never had. I'm not saying going off your feelings there, but it was a joy. Something experience that I've never had.
That's the way it works. And that's the goodness of the Lord. Because this boy here, he's what, 34?
Yes.
He'd never lived 34. He might not have made it to 17 if he'd had his way.
But I mean, if it wasn't even the Lord, I mean, people intervening for me in prayer, I'd be dead. I mean, that's just it. I mean, which goes the long suffering that the Lord talks about. There's fruit. I'm actually a fruit of long suffering from others. If they weren't obedient to that, I'd be dead. I mean, that's just the truth.
Certainly a sobering thought. We're at a position where stopping kind of makes sense instead of trying to overdo it. So I'm going to suggest that. So everybody have a word. Or is the word goodbye?
I want to say one thing, and it goes back to the beginning of this service and what Phil was talking about in the South Carolina service with, you know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Steve brought it up in his service, and to me it was a very good point for those that didn't hear it. And he said, you do not find conditional in any of that. And that's something we all need to strive for as a body. Because so much what somebody does or what somebody isn't doing, we justify not loving them or serving them. Because we're looking at them and not the Lord. There's no condition in serving the Lord and loving your fellow brother. I hope that made sense.
Absolutely. I mean, that's that agape love. That's a choice.
You just choose to do it.
And you do it. And it doesn't matter how messed up they are, how screwed up they are, how bad they messed up. Doesn't mean what they have done, what they haven't done. No, you choose to love them regardless.
You know, the husbands love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself, it says, for it, not to it.
And he loved us and died on that cross when we were unlovable.
That's right.
But he loved us, and in John, when I was reading this morning, he loved we love him because why? He first loved us.
You're giving back to him that which he gave you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really it. That goes back to that being acceptable. Yeah. And the other thing outside that
is not.
There's not a one of us that just stumbled across, I'm deciding to just love God today. No, it's
the church. The church here, though, is his body, and is made up of individuals. And it says Jesus gave his life for it. Those individuals. Not just the body corporate, the individual he gave his life for. And that's a more specific sort of thing. You gotta be willing to give your life for your wife and your children. And not just in a symbolic sense. Because Jesus didn't just do it in a symbolic sense. Not a metaphor.
Right. And you have, and what I'm going with that is, it's just your wife and your children for your brother. Because you are my friends. I have a man that laid down his life for his friends. He did that for the...
I'm just trying to keep it in 11. Contact with the verse here, but yeah, right. You're right.
For the 11.
Absolutely right. The 11,
and then, you know what? That life is to all mankind if they would receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through his body now. And guess who's his body? At that time, that was the 11. And then it got bigger. You know, and it falls in line. What came to mind, Paul, was present your body as a living sacrifice.
Yep.
Romans 12. That's what Jesus did. But good, I'm glad you brought that up, Steve. I mean, James, because I haven't heard Steve's. I'd be interested to hear it.
Okay, well, all that is good and a good word. I hope y'all enjoyed this week's Hour of Truth. Unless somebody else has something else to say, I'm going to pull the plug and go to the theme music. Anybody got anything else? Then goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Everybody have a great day and a great week.
Goodbye, everyone.